You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. I do want to express my gratitude for the privilege to be here again. I think I've been in every camp meeting except the first one. And one year I was scheduled to come, but had a death in the church and I was not able to be here. But it's been such a privilege and blessing to have been here in all these years, and I've seen things happen here. As Brother Milby will tell you, that really unusual and things that you can't explain, but just God moved in His mighty power. And it is certainly good to hear Brother Milby preach tonight. Thank God for him, for his faithfulness to God and his faithfulness to the Word of God. And, of course, the law of God is our schoolmaster that reveals the depravity of our heart. I believe the old Puritans, they used to call it the Wilton work. They preached the law of God, and then they preached the grace of God. Asked Brother Ray, Brother Percy one time about preaching revival. And he said, first, preach sin as black as you can until people get sick of it, and then point them to the Lord Jesus that can deliver them from sin. That's good advice. Thank you, Brother Milby, for preaching to us tonight. And I have to confess that many times I have to bow my head and with tear-stained eyes ask the Lord to forgive me and confess my sins. And sometimes I'm ashamed. It's the same sins. But I'm grateful that His mercies are new every morning. And I certainly need the mercy of God. It is such a blessing to be here. And I praise God for speaking to my heart. That was well worth the trip. Just to hear this message. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, and Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence tonight. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin. Every word and every thought, action and attitude, everything about me that's unchristlike and unbecoming as a child of God, I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Yes. Thank you for the message that we've just heard. Thank you for the faithfulness of thy servant. Thank you for speaking to us through your word, through this dear man of God. Thank you for this church, for this dear pastor. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be pleased to grace these services with thy presence. Lord, we are conscious that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes to help us and to empower us. And I pray, Lord, for convicting, for converting power. I pray that when we leave this place tonight, we'll be aware that God has met with us, and that God has spoken to us, and that God has said something to our hearts. Bless each of these men of God. I pray that you will bless them in their respective places of service. I pray now that you will be pleased to touch thy servant. Give me that special anointing. Illuminate my mind and loose my tongue. And may the gospel go forth not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. All that you're pleased to do in this hour, we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name that's above every name, name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight, and as the Lord gives direction, about the gospel according to Moses. Now, of course, as you know, the first five books were written by Moses. And in these books, you find the gospel, even in the very beginning. As a matter of fact, the gospel of Moses is the same as the gospel of John the Baptist. It is the same as the gospel of Matthew. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. For from the very beginning, God taught that there was only one way to approach God, and that is through a blood sacrifice. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. The devil had said to her and put doubt in her mind as to the word of God. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of every garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the trees of the garden. But of the tree which is the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so the first time the devil is introduced to us in the Bible, the first time the devil appears, he appears questioning the Word of God. And of course, that is still his tactic even to this day. Hath God said? Hath God said? And that's what Brother Milby was saying to us. We take our orders from God. We take our directions from one book. We're a one book people. We believe the Bible. And the Word of God is eternal. And the Word of God will one day judge the world. And so Eve sinned against God and ate of the forbidden fruit. When Adam came back, there was Eve standing all alone and afraid. And for the first time, she saw her nakedness and she was ashamed. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:14, for Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived in the transgression. And so Eve, of course, later, when God questioned them as to their sin, Adam blamed it on Eve. That woman thou gavest me. And the woman blamed it on the serpent. And of course, there's nobody left for him to blame it on. But that's still the tendency of man, blame it on someone else. But Adam knew that he could never have fellowship with Eve again unless he sinned. And so he ate of the forbidden fruit and participated in sin and became unclothed and was aware of his physical nakedness and spiritual nakedness as well. That evening when the voice of God, they heard the voice of God in the garden, they were afraid. Adam, where art thou? I believe that this voice, this call of God was out of a voice that was brokenhearted over their sin. God does have a heart, you know. God can feel. He is the great God, the great I am. But he has a heart of love, a heart of mercy, and the grace and the love of God. has even found a way to redeem fallen sinners. And that is through the sacrifice of His own Son. Because God's holy and God's righteous. He couldn't just ignore sin or sweep it on the rug, so to speak. Sin had to be atoned. Payment had to be made. And there was none worthy to make that sacrifice but the holy, righteous Son of God. They didn't search through heaven to find a Savior. He's the only one worthy, the only one qualified to bear the sin of the world in His own body. And so God teaches in the very beginning that His grace can reach fallen man. I read once that there was a homiletics professor in a school many, many years ago at the turn of the century. And he asked those students one day, those young preachers, to read this verse, the verse that says, that talks about God, the question that God asked when God said, "Adam, where art thou?" One young man read it as if God said it in anger. "Adam, where art thou?" One student read it as if God was just unconcerned. "Adam, where art thou?" But one student read it and with pathos and sorrow in his voice. "Adam, where art thou?" And that professor said to that young man, "God will use you to be a great soldier of Jesus Christ, for you love sinners. You have a burden for sinners, and that is the heart of God." God, of course, knew that Adam and Eve was going to sin, and yet we understand that God's heart was broken over the sin of man. And so God slew an animal and made a covenant to cover Adam and Eve. And because they were naked, God covered them. And again, he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." And then the Lord said unto Adam, "Because thou hast hearkened of the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. For thy sake, in sorrow, shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." But then God announced salvation through His Son in verse 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his head." And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. He bruised the serpent's head, and He gave the devil a mortal blow. The devil is alive and well, of course, but he's got a bad headache, and he's had it ever since Calvary. At Calvary, our Lord crushed the serpent's head, destroyed the works of the devil. We are on the winning side. We've already won, as a matter of fact. Our victory is in the work of the cross. But as you come to Cain and Abel, you understand the sacrifice of the gospel. There's only one sacrifice, only one acceptable sacrifice to God, and that is the blood. Every smoking Jewish altar, every slain lamb was just a prophecy of the blood that was to be shed on the cross. And Christ came and fulfilled the law of God. He didn't come to destroy the law, He said, but to fulfill it. And at Calvary, heaven and earth met. Mercy and truth, righteousness and peace kissed each other at the cross. God's Son has paid the debt. There's only one sacrifice that is acceptable to God, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. But the way of Cain is the way of man. It is a way beside God's way. Now there are only two ways. The broad way that leads to destruction, or the narrow way that leads to eternal life. There are two foundations, one on a rock and one on the sand. One will stand and one will crumble. Salvation is the way of the cross. Cain came his own way, and that way is the way of man. Now, Abel's offering was not acceptable just because it was an animal. And it was not acceptable because it was the very best one that he had. Or because Cain, or Abel rather, because of his zealous heart for God. But it was because he came God's way. And that way was through a blood sacrifice. Cain is the author of another way, to deny the guilt of man. Cain's way denies the need of the Savior. Cain's way says that man can attain righteousness by his own goodness, by his own morality. And it's always manifested with a hatred of the cross. Cain hated Abel, not because Abel had tried to rule over him, because Cain was the older brother, but not because Abel had been unkind to him. But he was mad at Abel because God accepted his sacrifice and refused his own sacrifice. And so there's revelation. Immediately after the fall of man, the grace of God did intervene. And God, of course, clothed Adam and Eve in a coat that was taken, slain, an animal skin. God killed an animal, sacrificed an animal, and clothed them in the sacrifice, the clothing of that animal. Adam and Eve had made themselves a little fig apron. Somebody said the first miniskirt originated in Paris. In reality, it didn't. It was in the Garden of Eden. God looked at their little apron of fig leaves and said, that's not enough. And he slew an animal and he clothed them. A picture of the only way to God. That is through the sacrifice of blood, the blood of his own son. And of course, when man was driven from the garden, there were flaming cherubims that prevented men and women from entering back into that garden. Adam and Eve, no one could come to God except through an atonement of blood. Cain and Abel came before the Lord with their sacrifices. Now, neither one of these men would have known anything about sacrifice unless it had been appointed, unless God had revealed it to them. I do not know how God revealed it to him. But he did reveal, I'm sure, to Cain as well as Abel. The only way to approach me is by blood. But Cain said, I'm going my way. I've got all these beautiful vegetables. I want to bring all of the fruit of my labor. And he laid all that before the Lord. But beside him was that bloody sacrifice of Abel, a bloody animal. And not only the animal, but the fat of that animal as well. And I'm not sure how God let them know that he refused Cain's sacrifice and accepted Abel's. There's a Jewish tradition that says God sent fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice of Abel. I do know that on Mount Carmel, that the fire of God did fall and consumed the sacrifice of Elijah. Nevertheless, God refused Cain's offering and accepted Abel's. All his labor, all his hard work, all that beautiful stuff on the altar, and God said no. That's not the way. There's one way. And that is through blood. Through blood. The blood of the sacrifice. And Cain said, no. I'm going to come my way. I'm going to do my own thing. And as a result, God refused And God rejected his sacrifice. You notice in verse number 4 of this scripture that there is reception. Abel brought the first of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And there in the presence of God, God accepted the offering of Abel. But he rejected Cain's. Cain had religion. It was the way of Cain, sure enough. And his way was his own way. And because God would not accept his offering because it was his way and not God's way, the countenance of Cain fell. And he became exceedingly angry at Abel. And he was mad at Abel just because God had accepted his sacrifice. That reminds you that there are a multitude just like Cain. They have a religion that says it's my way and not God's way. There are multitudes of people that attend church and yet they're not saved. They hear the gospel sometimes, but they're still not saved. There's no comfort to them. There's no joy. And the Word of God means nothing. The saints of God are blessed by the Word. They're convicted by the Word. They're moved to repentance by the Word. But those that are going the way of Cain, going their own way, they're never moved by the preaching of the Word. They want their way and not God's way. You and I certainly live in a day when the Laodicean church age is very evident, very prevalent, and churches that do strange things, and many of them have even taken the name church off. That's all right, because they don't act like a church. Many strange things go on in the name of religion. It's the way of Cain and not the way of God. And Cain was angry at Abel because God had refused his sacrifice and accepted Abel's. And they're angry at the people of God just because they've been accepted by God. Now, of course, they could be accepted by God as well, except they're going their way. They got to have it their way. And they're going to get their way. For the broad way leads to destruction. And many are those that they're in or they're at. Just like today, even in the political world, as well as the religious world. The reason that those on the left are so mad at the right is because they're not right, pun intended. They're going their way, and rather than God's way, and they're mad. And it's always that crowd that hates the people of God. They hate righteous laws. And as Brother Milburn's reminded us of the terrible abortions that have been committed in this country, it is that crowd that hates us who pray, us who worship God, us who believe the Bible, us who believe that God is God. Every Christian, every real Christian, as Brother Milburn already says, does respect the law, the rule of law. We're commanded to do that. When Jesus Christ was born, he didn't come to take away Caesar's throne. He didn't come to get a Caesar's purple toga, a robe. And Herod didn't have to worry about Jesus taking away his kingdom, because he has a kingdom that is not of this world. And because he is King of Kings, and one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This world hates God's way. They hate the people of God, and they hate righteousness. And the Lord Jesus is the only way through his blood that leads to heaven. They want the reward of faith without faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not it's difficult or it's very hard, but it is impossible to please God without faith. But God said to Cain, in these verses, God said in verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. If you come God's way, you'll be accepted. If you reject God's way, you will be rejected. It's as simple as that. Sin lieth at the door. In other words, there's one thing that's standing between you and God, and that's your sin. And the only one that can take away that sin is Jesus Christ. All your works cannot do it. All of your good religion can't do it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sin lieth at the door. You can let sin destroy you and cause you to end up in a dark eternal hell without God. Or you can go the way of Abel, which is the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. And it's through Christ that we come. There was rejection, of course, by his brother. And hurriedly, just as soon as Cain and Abel left that place of sacrifice, Cain went out in the field and slew his brother. In other words, they left church, and the first thing Cain did was kill his brother. Just because God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not his. Do not tell me that man's heart is not depraved, and man's heart is not blackened, and that all is sin and comes short of the glory of God. And there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God except those that have come the way of the cross. The way that Abel came, offering a sacrifice, a picture, a portrait of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God had said to Cain, a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And in reading history, the posterity of Cain is just briefly traced for six generations. And the record shows that they were utter religious, irreligious, and without God, and would not admit that they were sinners. And Cain went to the land of Nod, the place of wandering. Jude says the wicked are like the sea when it cast up its mire. And eternity, they're like the wandering stars, lost in the blackness of darkness forever. Abel's voice of blood, the Bible says, cried from the ground for vengeance. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cries for salvation. The Lord Jesus has died to save us. That's why he died on the cross. I'm grateful for Abel's lamb, but I'm far more grateful for my lamb. Because my lamb has made atonement for my sin. My lamb has paid the debt in full, so that the complete price has been paid. The Hebrews 12 says that in the grace of God, we've come to Mount Zion, to the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to the spirits of justified men made perfect. But best of all, we've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, which speaketh better things than that of Abel's blood. Yeah.